following program is sponsored by House of Prayer.
Welcome to God's Heritage, the Women's Hour. I am Natalie Diaz. Thank you for joining us. Tonight, we are going to look into the lives of the women that surrounded and ministered to Christ during his earthly ministry. The focus will be on true discipleship and loyalty. We will uncover the great role these silent helpers played to bring about the scheme of the ages. As always, this broadcast is dedicated to Moriah Michée Dennis. As Jesus began his showing to the world, many rejected him until they saw miracles. According to Scripture, multitudes followed because of the miracles. You see, deep inside, people are desiring a king who can solve all their problems, which usually revolve around financial stability, health, and human relations. Very few are waiting for the king who will ingrain the perfect moral law within our being, which is the only other solution to problematic humanity. Beside this, there is no other option outside of judgment. The Bible warns against searching for power instead of righteousness. Miracles is what the Antichrist will use to draw the multitudes to their doom. Any miracle that is not done in righteousness and holiness is not from God. It is empowered by the forces of darkness. Read Deuteronomy chapter 13 and Revelation chapter 13. Then you will understand. After the miracles, Jesus preached the kingdom of God. Yet, in parables, he spent a lot of time teaching the people. With wise words, Jesus tested every heart that professed to be willing to be his disciple. Whether you are a man or a woman or even a child, if you are willing, there is a place for you in the body of Christ.
Maybe you feel like you don't fit in. You do fit in with God. God has room for you. There is a place for you, and there is an answer. He does love you.
We were going to a different church, and they asked me to take my daughter's hearing aids out, to take out her G-tube, so she was hungry, like, all the time in nursery. And I laid her down in the crib, and they kind of just left her alone because they were afraid of my daughter. I went to a grocery store off base, and I ran into a sister, and she asked me if I wanted to come to church. And I said straight up to her that if I have to be paying attention to my child in the sanctuary, I'm not going to be paying attention to what your pastor's trying to tell me. And she talked to the nursery worker sister, and she said they just wanted a crash course in my daughter. They wanted to know what to do with the feeding pump if it went off, and they didn't just want me to tell them to just turn it off and I'd fix it later. They wanted to know how to hold my daughter, how to pick her up, the safest way when that would be for it. I remember thinking that was really interesting because, like, I tried to push them away by telling them my daughter was different, but they were like, no, they wanted to know how to love my child, how to take care of my child. And that really meant something to me because I had never had that in a church, that they wanted to take care of my child and not have to have me worry. I liked how that they wanted to love my child. They wanted to know how to take care of my child so that I could focus on God and, like, focus on what the pastor was saying.
Help is always needed. One person cannot do it all. Even Jesus needed help. And for this, he enlisted willing, ordinary people from all walks of life.
Luke chapter 8, verse 1 says, "And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable."
The ladies in this passage were not preachers, nor teachers. They were not pastors, nor apostles, and definitely not evangelists. Still, they traveled with him and were his faithful ministers. Some of these ladies were wealthy, but having found the pearl of great price, they used their wealth to be a blessing to the one who was worth it all to them. He had healed them and given them back their self-worth. Their hearts were full of gratitude. They finally had a purpose. Life was now worth the living, and so they served him with joy as they learned to live for the life to come. Let's take a moment now to listen to some who found that the only life worth living is the life in Christ.
And we would get invited to our church here, and they would have prayer meetings, but we would come like during vacation, like at Christmas time, where we worked at the Power Tool place, we would be off of work from like Christmas till the first of the year. And so we had almost 2 weeks there. So we would come to visit the church, and we had family here at the present church, and we enjoyed it. And then we got invited to like fellowship meetings and conferences, and whenever we would get to come to the conference, it was people were standing on their feet and praying. I thought, man, I like this. It was good. And the people was praying, and I seen that the way that they would live, they would really walk as they lived the Bible as close as anybody I've ever seen. And so every chance that we would get to come to, we would get to come to this church. And over a matter of a few years, God began to deal with us, and he would tell us, you need to go to this church. We would go back to the old church and try to get those people to pray and to seek God's face, but they really didn't want it, not the way the prayer people here did. So by and by, things began to happen. After a matter of time, we said, okay, we will go. We did not have any idea what we would do, how it would happen, how God would provide. We just knew that we would go. And when we submitted, when we submitted to God, then things began to happen.
After I left overseas and my dad got stationed at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, I remember we just had my little brother Jacob, and one night we were in Walmart, and somebody came up to my father, and that man was actually my pastor even to this day, 14 years later. Pastor Riley has been a huge influence in my life, and if it weren't for God putting him in my life and using him to help my family through some very difficult times, because I remember before we started coming to church, we were dealing with a lot of personal issues in our family. There's a lot of fighting, a lot of bitterness, a lot of anger in my household. And I can honestly say when I was a kid, I just remembered all the time, like there were just nonstop arguing and nonstop problems in the house. And there was always something happening. And I just remember when we started coming to church around 7 years old and how it honestly started to change things, not just in my family. You know, we went from having a lot of problems to pretty much being in church every day, you know, whether it was Bible study, question and answering, prayer, church service on Sundays, you know. Just learning about the things of God from a young age really helped me later on down the line.
There are so many things that money cannot buy. One of them is your health. There are also circumstances that money cannot solve. One of them is death. No doubt, there are some listening who have experienced notable miracles in their lives. Let me ask you a question. What is He worth to you, who healed your body, mind, and soul? Is He your everything? Most in the crowd came to Him to get their need met. And after that, they went their way, back to their old life, but without the disadvantage of the plague that troubled them. No doubt, they told others what great things God had done through Jesus. And so, a crowd of people looking for help was formed over and over again. If Jesus had a phone number, I'd venture to say it'd be 911, because most sought Him only when they were in trouble. Again, we do not discourage anyone from doing that. Please call upon Him in your time of need. If you remember the account of the 10 lepers, all of them were healed, but only one came back glorifying God and giving Him thanks. He was a Samaritan, an outsider, one who didn't feel entitled to the mercies of God. This thankful soul was the only one who was made complete. The others returned to their old lives healed, but unregenerated. I want to pause here for a moment and take time to listen to testimonies of people who received help from God and did not take it for granted.
I was first diagnosed with multiple myeloma in August of 2017, right after my 32nd birthday. I went through 9 months of chemotherapy, and then I became a candidate for an autologous stem cell transplant. So in May of 2018, my wife and I drove up to Nashville, Tennessee, and we were there for 2 months where the procedure was going to take place. When we first arrived, I had to do workups in order to get ready for the process. I had to daily get my blood drawn, and I had to meet with my nurse practitioner. In the first phase of the whole process, they were going to extract plasma from my body, and we had to go through a lot at that time. It was a very steady, slow process. It was painful. I had a port that was coming out the side of my neck, and they had to give me a medicine to get the cells out into my bloodstream, and I finally had to go through a process called apheresis. But it was during that time that the church was really there for me. I went through a lot. My wife went through a lot, but the brothers were there to visit me. They sent thousands of dollars to me. They were there to encourage me. They came for weeks at a time, and I know that I could not have made it without them. I really appreciate House of Prayer Christian Church and the brothers and the sisters that sacrificed for me. I just want to give God the glory.
In the last 4 to 5 years, I was in physical pain in my lower back. When I was in pain in my lower back, I went to the ER and they did an MRI on my lower back and they discovered that I had a bulging disc. But through further testing, the doctors also told me that I had degenerated disc disease and some arthritis. This made it worse. This excruciating pain would also shoot down both my legs, so I can barely walk. But of May 6, 2024, I had a major surgery that was called lumbar disc arthroplasty, known as LDA, also known as the total disc replacement surgery. This is where they went through my abdomen or my stomach to get to my spine. They did a 5 to 7 inch cut, and then they opened me wide, and then they placed all my organs to the side to get to replace the whole disc and to put an artificial disc. The surgery caused a lot of limitations to me, such as I couldn't walk, I couldn't run, I couldn't lift. I couldn't even do the simple things just as to cough or sneeze or talk and even laugh because it caused so much pain. Sitting here in this difficult time of this surgery, recovering from it, I realized that how blessed I really am to have a great church family like this. Sisters who would come knowing that they had their own family, their own household, and they would visit me, they would call, were encouraging words, sisters who would pray with me. I remember many days during these 3 to 4 months as I was recovering that the sisters would drive all the way down an hour away just to clean my house. Sisters who would drive an hour to cook for me and to bring me and my husband meals and to ask, do I need anything? I thank God for the sisters and brothers in House of Prayer that they were so thoughtful that they brought me socks to keep my feet warm. Yet when I put them on, they really soothed my heart on the inside. Sometimes I would get frustrated because it's hard to lose your independence. But when I would see the sisters, this made me so happy. Not because of just the things, but because somebody would come to remember you in your time of need, your time of suffering, your time where you can't do for yourself. I had a need and it was met. And I know that it's no matter money that I can repay. I don't have any fancy words or eloquent words to let them know how much I really appreciate and what a world of difference that they made, not only in my life, but in heaven is written down. But I would like to end with this. Thank you.
The blesser is to be loved for who he is, not because of what he can do for us. It is very dangerous to the soul to forget the God who answered our prayers. Those ladies that surrounded Christ were truly thankful, and their record proved this. Unthankfulness will always lead to a darkened heart. The layout of the whole Bible is intentional. Nothing in the text is coincidence. Though at times it may appear random, it was divinely orchestrated for a purpose. In Luke chapter 8, after a list of faithful ones is given, a crowd gathers. Jesus began to teach them the parable of the sower and the seed. He is telling them, examine your own selves. Is your heart fertile soil? Will this seed grow without obstruction? Are there ulterior motives behind your following? If so, time and trials will tell. Matthew 7 says, the tree is known by its fruit, but the fruit is the fruit of the Spirit, not the result of evangelistic effort. We said it before, Jesus had a way to purposely shrink the crowd. He was looking for quality people. His attention was not centered on the poor only. Neither did he focus on the rich and affluent. No doubt, he knew how to conduct himself with the highest established decorums of the age. This is certain because some from among the rich believed on him. Of such was Levi, Zacchaeus, Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, and Joanna, the wife of Chusa. There were many of the very poor who believed on him as well. What I really want you to notice here is the pattern of a sincere soul. Christ came to seek that which was lost. That means those who received him realized they were lost themselves, not just in need of temporal help, but in great need of salvation. With most Pharisees and Sadducees, all Jesus found were arguments and hardened hearts. His word had no place in them. All they wanted was to see some great sign. The multitudes there abounded with people who had genuine needs that drove them to Jesus. Closest to him were faithful ones and traitors. Our focus tonight is on those who proved most faithful, the women. As he hung there, the women were at the foot of the cross. As he was reviled, they wept. No doubt, there were times where it seemed too painful to bear, but love is stronger. Can you picture them? Do you see Mary Magdalene holding on to the cross, regardless if it stained her clothes? In very deed, jealousy is cruel as the grave. It was for jealousy that they delivered him to be crucified. I don't believe they left the foot of the cross willingly. I wonder if they got pushed out of the area, and that's why later on they had to behold afar off. Regardless, they were there to the bitter end. These ladies did not stand idle. To the men, their chance for a successful apostolic career was over. To the women, the one whom their soul loved so much was worthy of the best burial they could offer. They didn't have a choice in the matter concerning his shameful death, but they had a choice in this matter. They were going to make sure he was buried with dignity, so they rushed as the Sabbath approached. Charity never fails. Most know Mary Magdalene as the woman with the alabaster box. However, that experience was only a reflection of her devoted life. Mary said, "Tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." She did not care how heavy it may have been to carry his corpse. She was not willing to see any more disrespect toward him. No, not even to his dead body. The very first one to see him risen was the one who loved him most. She did not go on to play any major role in the church. None of the women at the resurrection did. Nevertheless, they all fulfilled the first and great commandment of all, to love the Lord our God. It never ceases to amaze me how God confounds the wise. Indeed, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Join us again next week as we continue to bring to you the stories of men, women, and children who made a difference while working unnoticed in the background. This broadcast is dedicated to Moriah Miche Dennis, the Pure Mountain.